We continue our learning. We are on Beitza. Perek Hey, Mishnah Aleph. Mashilin Peros Derech Aruba B'Yom Tov Avalo B'Shabbos. The Mishnah here permits you have fruit that's drying on the roof. Or you put up grapes and you want them to turn into raisins. But now you see that it's about to rain. So you want to bring it into the house. So we're concerned that there may be a terech involved in bringing all of this produce into the house. So the Mishnah says, on Yom Tov, we wouldn't allow you to pick up the fruit and put it, let's say, through a window in the house. But since it's on the roof and there's an aruba, there's a hatchway, there's a skylight, and all you need to do is move the fruit and mashilin, nashal, it's going to fall down, that's not a terech yaseira, and therefore it's allowed. Avolo b'Shabbos. That would not be allowed on Shabbos. Now, on Shabbos and on Yom Tov, we would allow, if we're moving, let's say, the fruit, not to avoid this potential financial loss, but let's say the mitzvah, I want to use the space for a sheva brachos, then I could move the fruit even on a Shabbos, and I can even pick it up and put it through a window, let's say, not just drop it through the aruba, not just through the skylight. Then the Mishnah says, "Umechasim peros bekelim ibnei hadelef." It's dripping water, and it's dripping on the fruit, so it's getting ruined. So the Mishnah here says you can cover it with kelim, with cloths, to protect it from that dripping water. Now you'll say, I don't really need this. It's just I don't need it for Yontif. This may be considered a tercha. We don't consider this a tercha. Says the Bratun of Alarm, meaning Torach Shalol Tzorach Yom Tovu. When it says it's a tercha Shalol Tzorach Yom Tov, because it's since there's a Hefzein Mamon, so the Rabban, a potential financial loss, the Rabban will allow you to cover all of the fruit. It could be a lot of fruit with clothing, with cloth, so that it doesn't get wet. V'chein Kadeh Yain V'Kadeh Shemen. Same thing. You have pitchers of wine and oil. Those also can be covered. The Gemara assumes on Daf Lamed Vav, we're talking about wine and oil that are tevel. So they have to separate truma from them, so therefore they're moktsa. So nonetheless, the Mishnah is telling us that I'm allowed to cover them with a cloth, and it's not a problem at all. There is an opinion that says that I'm not allowed to move a kli for the tzorech, for the purpose of something, an item that's moktsa. We don't follow that lahalacha, and therefore this is permitted. V'nostim kli tachas hadelef b'Shabbos. And you can even put a kli underneath dripping water on Shabbos. Water is dripping. It's a leak in the house. It's a leak from the ceiling. It's ruining and the house. The floor is getting wet. So you want to put a kli there. You want to put a pail there. And so the water will drip in. Says the Mishnah, that's okay. And when it fills up, you can empty it and put it back. Now, what's the chiddush here? I'm putting a kli and there's water falling in. So in fact, it's not so simple. The Gemara says this is only allowed if the water that's dripping is water that's fit for drinking or fit for washing. Because if it's really dirty water that you wouldn't use at all, then it's not allowed because that water is muktzah. So what's the problem with putting a kli underneath something that's muktzah? So here the post can say, this is what we call mevatel kli mehechano. This is where you're nullifying a kli from its non-muktzah use, which means the following. If I have, let's say I have a kli, and there's dirty water falling in, and that water is muktzah, so that kli was usable, I could move it around, I could use it for whatever I like, and now you put it underneath, and there's dirty water in there, so now I'm not allowed to move it. If dirty water, I wouldn't be able to even spill it out, let's say. So now the kli is stuck in place. So what's the problem with the kli that's stuck in place? So the poskim debate this issue. Some say that it looks like bone. Looks like I'm building the kli into place. It was usable. I can move it around. And now it's stuck there because there's muktzah water inside. Or others say it's soster. It's the exact opposite. I'm destroying the use of the kli by the fact that I was able to use it. And now that it's stuck in place because it's dirty water that fell in, so it's not allowed. So the case of the Mishnah here, where we say Nostim Kli Tahas Adela B'Shabbos, has to be where the water is fit for use, and it's not muktzah, and therefore I'm not going to even mevatel the kli mehechano. This is a general question we have when it comes to putting garbage in a new garbage bag. We say, well, the garbage bag I was able to use and move around and use forever I like. And now that you're putting bones and peels and other things in there, now you made a muktzah. Now you can't move it anymore. Maybe that should be a problem. I should make sure that there's garbage in there before Shabbos. Questions about putting a dirty diaper in a bag. And also now making that bag, and it's mevato kli mehechano. But there are reasons to be lenient in these cases as well. Perek Hey, Mishnah Beis. Kol shechayovin alav mishum shvus, mishum rishus, mishum mitzvah b'Shabbos. Chayavin alav b'yom tov. Just a literal translation is anything that you're culpable for, whether it be a shvus, which is an Isser Derabbanan in the laws of Shabbos and Yom Tov, whether it be a Roshus. Roshus is something that is that's a quasi-mitzvah, and mitzvah means something that's a real mitzvah. Now, what we're pointing out here is that there are three categories of Isurim Derabbanan in the laws of Shabbos and in the laws of Yom Tov. One category is what we call a Shvus, because it's Isur Derabbanan, and Shvus are Gzeros, are Isurim Derabbanan in the laws of Shabbos, but here there's no mitzvah element to it at all, so we just call it a Shvus. Then we have things that are also a Shvus, that are an Isur Derabbanan, but we call them a Roshus, because there is a partial mitzvah to them. And then there's a category called mitzvah, which is also an Isur Derabbanan we'll be discussing, a category of where these are Isurim Derabbanan, but those Isurim Derabbanan are mitzvahs. So what the Mishnah is pointing out is, and the word chayavin is a little bit difficult. Chayavin may mean, well, if you're going to tell me that it's an Isur Derabbanan, and you chayav makas mardus, malkos derabbanan, for doing an Isur Derabbanan, so then I understand why you say chayav. Other ways we could explain chayav usually means that something's usher d'oraisa. So you have to say something that the chachamim say that I'm obligated to avoid doing because there's an isur d'rabbanan. So that applies not only to Shabbos, it applies to Yom. So the Mishnah to give us examples of three different categories so we'll understand what they are, and they should be avoided on both Shabbos and Yom Tov. So these are the things that are usher mishum shvus, that have no mitzvah element to them whatsoever, and they're isur midrabbanan, gzeros midrabbanan. Number one on the list is lo olin be'ilan. You're not allowed to climb a tree. We've had this before. Climbing a tree is a gzeros midrabbanan, unless the person who's climbing the tree maybe pull off a branch. So you're not allowed to climb a tree. You can't even lean on a tree on Shabbos. And on Yom Tov, v'lo roch v'nagabim behema. Same thing, you're not allowed to ride on an animal. We also say you can't even lean on an animal. We spoke about earlier in the Masechta about the mitzvah of smicha, of leaning on the animal to do the mitzvah of smicha before I shecht it. And if it's something I could have done before Yom Tov, it's not going to override the Yom Tov, because it's mishtamesh bebal chai, leaning on an animal. It's part of the gzer of riding on an animal, which if I ride on an animal, I may pull off a branch in order to guide the animal. So you can't ride on an animal. That's also a shvus. V'lo shatit al p'nei ha'mayim, you're not allowed to swim on the water. We're afraid that maybe, says the Baal Tanur, gezeira shema yaseh chavis shel shayatim, I may make some type of life preserver, some type of raft in order to float. So that word for that would be making a kli, that certainly would not be allowed. So therefore, that's a gzeira d'rabbanan, that we don't swim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. V'lo mitapchin, what else? You're not allowed to clap. Tapkin is clapping your hands one-on-one. V'lo misapkin is where you hit your hand on your thigh. V'lo maraktin, and we don't dance. These are all gezeros d'rabbanan, all part of in the same category, where if we're afraid we may repair a musical instrument. The same way you can't play instruments, because I'm afraid the string of the guitar is going to break and I'm going to fix it. That would be maka b'patish, that would be a malacha d'oraisa. So included in that category of playing music are all these things, are clapping and dancing, which are prohibited. We've mentioned in the past, ain shvus b'mikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, because Kohanim are zrizim him, they're very cautious and very careful, they do things with alacrity, so we're not afraid they're going to violate these things, so therefore we can play musical instruments in the Beis HaMikdash, but this outside the Mikdash, so these are all prohibited, the clapping and the dancing, etc. What gives us the right to dance on a Shabbos, to dance on a Simchas Torah? So Tosus claims that this is that today we don't know how to repair kalim, so therefore this gezerah does not apply. The difficulty with that toaster, with that position in general, is that when we have gezerah d'rabbanan, we generally do not find leniency for them, even later, even in generations where the reason for the gezerah, the rationale may not apply, because you need a beis din that's greater, as we say, in number or in greatness in terms of the stature of the rabbis in order to overturn a gezerah. And we don't have that. We can never say that we have that. That's gadol b'chachma, in wisdom of a minyan, and either number or age or greatness. But there are times where we do overturn gzeira, and this is questionable whether there's a heter to dance on Shabbos. We usually relax that prohibition for the purposes of a mitzvah. So that whole category was the shvus. There's no mitzvah element to those at all. These are the things that have a mitzvah element to them that the Chachamim also prohibited on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. Lo dun, and we mentioned this before, you're not permitted to judge. Any financial disputes are not allowed in a Beis Din. You have a lawsuit that's brought to Beis Din, that's not allowed. We're afraid you're going to write Shema Yichtov. That's the concern that we have. And why would you say there's a mitzvah? So sure, judging a case is certainly a mitzvah. So why is, if it's a mitzvah, why do we call it a reshus? Reshus sounds like it's in this middle category where there's an element of a mitzvah, but not completely a mitzvah. The answer is because there are times where a judge would say that there's someone who's more qualified to judge this case. And therefore, maybe judging a case in many cases would only be a reshus. Now, the word reshus, we usually say voluntary. Why do we have the right to say reshus? Why do we assume that's a mitzvah? So an example that's very famous is we say tfilas arvis reshus. And Tosus is of the opinion, beginning of the fourth parak of Brachos, that when we say reshus there, we don't mean reshus, it's voluntary. It doesn't mean it's optional. The Shmona Esrei of Mariv, even in the days where we assume we accepted the position that it was today, we assume it's a chiyuv. But even in the days where we assume we accepted the position that the Shmona Esrei of Mariv is optional, is reshus, the optional may not be an optional. According to Tosus, reshus means a mitzvah, but maybe a lesser mitzvah. If you have another compelling mitzvah, that would override the Mariv. The Marv Shmona Esrei, but Rishus doesn't necessarily mean that it's not a mitzvah. So Rishus can mean something that is a lesser mitzvah, and a lesser mitzvah in these examples, because there may be a reason, in the case of judging, there may be some reason why I shouldn't judge because someone is more qualified. V'lo Mikadshin, same thing we don't do on a Shabbos or Yom Tov, is Kiddushin, that first stage of marriage, we don't do that as well. And that's also the concern. There's things that need to be written. You have a ksuv that needs to be written that we may write down. So this is something we should avoid as well. And why do I call this a reshus? So says the Bar Tanura, you know why it's not a mitzvah gemura, a reshus? Could go into Islay Isho Bottom. Someone's getting married for the second time. So Kiddushin, first of all, there's a question whether Kiddushin is a mitzvah at all. But assuming Kiddushin is a mitzvah, it's not a mitzvah for everyone. Someone is getting married for the second time. He already had a wife, he had children. He's getting married for the second time. He's yotzei the mitzvah of Pruruva already. So there may not be a mitzvah. That's why it falls in the category of reshus. V'lo Cholzin, we don't do Chalitza. And we don't do a yibum. Now, why would we say that these also are in the category of reshus? So the answer is, comes to chalitza yibum, there may be another brother who, the older brother, who should do it. So in many cases, someone who's doing the chalitza, doing the yibum, may be a younger brother, and it is effective. If it certainly removes that zika, that attachment between the brother and his sister-in-law. Nonetheless, that may not be a mitzvah because it's mitzvah begadol. You say the pasuk says habechor asher teled, there chazal darshin that the bechor actually is a reference not to the child that's born from the new union, but after yibam, but rather bechor means that the mitzvah is on the oldest child, the oldest brother. So if a younger brother does the performs yibam, that's really reshus. It's not really a mitzvah, and therefore chalitza and yibam can be in that category. And once again, all of these concerns of judging. Chalitza, you may write a shtar chalitza, you may write a ksuba. That's why all of these activities are prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov, egzera derabbanan. The elein mishum mitzvah. This is the category of things that are asur on Shabbos and Yom Tov that fall into the category of a genuine mitzvah. Lo makdishin, this is not mikachin, this is not kiddushin, this is being makdish, consecrating something to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Bet HaKabayis, for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's a mitzvah, but we don't do that. We don't do that on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Lo ma'arichin erech. Erech is the fixed value that people have. Now the Torah describes the end pashas b'chukosai depending on the age. Let's say between 20 and 60, a male's value we say is 50 shekel. So you say erech alai means at that stage you would give 50 shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. All depends. That's a fixed value. V'lo macharimin. You're not permitted on Shabbos. You have to give a cherim. A cherim is where a person says I'm setting aside or dedicating something for the Beis HaMikdash or for the kohanim. It calls it a cherim. That also becomes the property of the Beis HaMikdash. And these are These are not allowed because they're mekach u'memkar. This is like buying and selling. Buying and selling, we mentioned. Is that based on mimsochef tzucha, v'daber davar, the pasuk in Yeshayahu, perek nun ches? Or maybe it's also gzera shema yichtov, different opinions for why these are prohibited. But these are mitzvos that are also prohibited. prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Lo magbihin truma umaser. And you're not allowed to literally to elevate, to separate truma and maser as well. And that we mentioned many times. This is considered tikkun. You're completing it. You're perfecting it. It was unusable before, and now you're making it usable. So it's a derabbanan that looks like a makke bepatish. Kol elu biyom tov amru kavachomer b'shabbos, says the Mishnah. These are prohibited on Yom Tov and kavachomer. If you can't do it on Yom Tov, you certainly can't do it on Shabbos. And then the Mishnah concludes with a famous statement: Ein ben Yom Tov l'Shabbos ela ochel nefesh b'vad. Meaning, since we said these are usher on Yom Tov, kavachomer on Shabbos, we're now pointing out, but the only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is the fact that ochel nefesh, I'm allowed to do malacha for ochel nefesh purposes on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos. And the Gemara points out that that line on Daf Lamed Zayin, that the end of the Mishnah seems to be in accordance with Beis Shammai. Remember, Beis Hillel, we said earlier in the Masechta, and after Yud Beis and Manalef, there's a little discussion about this. Beis Hillel's opinion of Mitoch Shehutra Litzorech, the same way we allow Ochel Nefesh Melachos for Litzorech Ochel Nefesh, Hutra Namesh Shelo Litzorech, so I can ignite a fire from an existing flame to warm myself, maybe to warm up water, to wash your hands and face and feet, which we discussed. But this Mishnah only mentions Ochel Nefesh. Sounds like the Mishnah denies the concept of Mitoch, and therefore the author of this Mishnah happens to be Beis Shammai.